With no further ado, I just want to thank all the Greens who are here. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll just give you a few words of welcome, and then we're going to shift more from rally into press conference and make a major policy statement. But I just want to share with you how well this whistle-stop tour is going. We left Vancouver, I must say, our actual farthest western point, which we reached by Canada's only carbon-neutral airline, Harbour Air. We actually started in Port Alberni on Saturday, and in Port Alberni, we had over 200 people at the rally for John Fryer, our candidate in Nanaimo, Port Alberni. And yeah, so I dipped my hand in the Pacific Ocean, and I'll keep going till we get back home to Nova Scotia. But we went from Port Alberni, then we had a huge rally at the Vancouver train station to see us off, and then we stopped at whistle stops in Agassiz, in Mission, and at 3 a.m. this morning in Kamloops, where 40 people were waiting to greet the green train. So we are, in fact, part of the winds of change. We are giving people hope in this country and a reason to pay attention to this election. We are reaching out to Canadians from coast to coast to coast, because we actually have a quite winnable seat in Nunavut, where former Member of Parliament Peter Attinuar is our candidate seeking the seat in Nunavut. We are reaching out to Canadians in a way that no federal political party has for years. We are stressing our inclusiveness. We're stressing the fact that as Canadians, we are one community. We have far more in common than we have in the difference. That we recognize in each other common values. And that we will not allow Mr. Harper and his campaigns of division and cynicism and fear-mongering to take Canada off track. Yeah. Everyone asks me why we're taking the train across Canada. There are many reasons. One, it's the lowest carbon way to do a leaders tour. So although the NDP and the Liberals are buying carbon offsets, it's, by the way, appalling to me that the Conservatives have been attacking the parties that actually buy carbon offsets while they jet around the country in their private plane with absolutely no more concern for the environment in their campaigning than in the way that they've been governing, which is to say, zero. But in any case, we decided not to fly around in the jet version of a chicken with its head cut off, crisscrossing the country to no particular purpose. We're starting in Vancouver. We're building momentum. We're taking the green train across Canada, picking up support, underlining our campaign pledge to work hard to restore Canada's rail links, to modernize them, to have high-speed trains, and to bring... flyover. It wasn't quite perfect. But we need a train from Edmonton to Calgary. We need to be a high-speed, electric, modern train. We need to have the same kind of technology that was developed in Canada, such as by Bombardier, but which is only utilized not in Canada, in China. Is China a more modern industrialized country than Canada? I hadn't known. But that's the direction that we're taking our infrastructure, our trains, our downtown cores need better mass transit, and linking between our cities and our towns and our villages. We need to have low carbon options that save greenhouse, reduce greenhouse gases while providing an efficient, modern way to get around. So the green train has a couple messages. We link this country together again, not just through our infrastructure, but through our vision. Not since Sir John A. Macdonald have we seen a prime minister who truly grasped the fact that a country as vast as Canada can be linked, can be brought together. And it's not a question just of the rail. It's a question of our social programs. It's a question of our commitment to end poverty. It's a question of our commitment to plan not for the next big event like an election and how to fool people into voting for you. Our approach looking forward is to ensure that we leave our children and our grandchildren a livable world. We don't have a choice. We have a moral obligation to take on our responsibilities to join the community of nations and move Canada in the right direction on our economy, for our environment, for our society, to knit families and communities together again with programs that really support family values, that don't just, as Mr. Harper does, pretend to do so with boutique tax cuts. We need deep tax cuts for families, deep tax cuts for small business and for workers, and we can deliver them in a way that makes sense as a fiscally responsible party, but with a vision that takes us far beyond the next election, that takes us to future generations. And that's why we're asking Canadians to vote for tomorrow, to realize in the Green Party there's a vision of a world that is sustainable, that is healthy, and that gives our kids the future in their hands with confidence and with hope. Thank you so much for being here. Introduce a truly great Canadian. I'm honored that he's agreed to participate in our press conference portion of our stop in Edmonton. Everyone thought that the Greens would come to Edmonton and hold a press conference attacking the Athabasca tar sands. Well, that's a good idea. But in the meantime, we have a lot of policy announcements to make on the course of this tour. And one of the issues that I am absolutely committed to injecting this election campaign is the question of nuclear disarmament. No other party is raising this as an issue, and yet under Mr. Harper, Canada has been undermining the global agreements that make the world a safer place and take us farther away from the risk of the mushroom cloud. Before I introduce our guest at our press conference, I just want to reflect that one of the great privileges I've had from the work I've done has been to be a member of the Earth Charter Commission, in which I worked with Mikhail Gorbachev. And in one of the moments in one of our meetings when we weren't debating text of the Earth Charter, he shared with us what it was like to try to end the threat of nuclear war on this planet. And he reflected through a translator. This was a meeting that took place in Rio de Janeiro in 97. He said, and we were just about two dozen of us in a hotel room. What a privilege to be with Mikhail Gorbachev in those circumstances. And he said, you know, It seemed that our negotiators were getting nowhere. Ronald Reagan had said that we should negotiate. He wanted to negotiate, but nothing was happening. And in his words, he said, finally, I said to myself, nothing's going to happen unless I pick up the phone. And in such moments lies the hope of history, the change of consciousness, that Mikhail Gorbachev decided, I don't care about the negotiators. I'm picking up the phone. And he called Ronald Reagan. And he said, listen, I don't think our negotiators are getting very much past drinking a lot of vodka. I really think I want to know from you, do you want to end nuclear weapons? And Ronald Reagan said, yes, I do. And Mikhail Gorbachev said, so do I. So let's do it. And in that moment, we had the opportunity for great progress. But we are squandering it by the day and by the year. And under George W. Bush, the U.S. government has moved back to discussions of strategic use of nuclear weapons. And in last year's U.S. budget, they put $6 billion into their nuclear weapons program. And under the Harper government, we've seen the undermining of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So I'm extremely pleased and proud to introduce to you a former progressive conservative, former member of parliament, indeed a distinguished senator, but in that period of all of his work in the public interest, the Honorable Doug Roach served as Canada's ambassador for disarmament to the United Nations. So I invite you to join me in welcoming Doug Roach to the microphone.
Here's why I have come here tonight, to support Elizabeth May in her campaign. The Green Party recognizes that there are two overarching problems for the 21st century: global warming and nuclear weapons. They must be resolved if our planet is to survive. Elizabeth May and the Green Party are the only political leaders who are facing up to both problems. Now, all the commentators recognize that Elizabeth's green plan to save the environment is the best in the country. Now they need to realize that the Green Party has the best plan to move forward on helping to get rid of the 25,000 nuclear weapons that are still in existence, and that is a real scandal compared to the human needs we have in the world today. Their plan begins by taking concrete steps that are in the proposal that Elizabeth is going to make and is her policy statement, including a test ban treaty to shut off nuclear testing for all time. That will save the non-proliferation treaty. Elizabeth May is the leader who will help stop global warming and help Canada to take steps to get rid of nuclear weapons. In bringing these two issues together, the Green Party is on the cutting edge of history.
I'm overwhelmed by Doug's statement. Thank you so very much, Honorable Doug Roach, who's done so much for this country and so much for the world. Yes, our plan would be to what Stephen Harper has done, in case you didn't know, was to say that we must now trade nuclear technology with India, even though nuclear technology to India from Canada led to India developing the nuclear bomb in clear violation to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And that's why the comment from Mr. Harper's minister at the time, David Emerson, that India had been, in his words, in the penalty box too long, was simply shameful. You do not undermine a global treaty to eliminate nuclear weapons and treat it with a hockey metaphor. You simply can't compare the offenses. We need to bolster the negotiations on the fissile material cutoff treaty. We need to insist that we do not share nuclear technology with any country that's violated the provisions of the non-proliferation treaty. We need to end nuclear weapons testing globally, and we need to declare Canada a nuclear weapons-free zone. This issue is clearly not top of mind in this election campaign. I'm sure the other federal party leaders may wonder why on earth the Greens decided to make sure we raise it now. But here's fair warning to Stephen Harper, Stéphane Dion, Jack Layton, and Gilles Duceppe. I want to know what your policies are before we get into debates October 1st and October 2nd. This issue matters. And we must work together to ensure a more secure world. The nuclear doomsday clock moved 2 minutes closer to midnight in the beginning of 2007. As the world scientists noted, the threat of the climate change disaster that looms and the threat of nuclear proliferation have worsened their measurement as expert scientists of where humanity stands on this planet. We need to start moving the doomsday clock away from midnight. And to do that, we must confront realistically. Mr. Harper, how dare you use the word realistic for your fraud of a plan on climate change? It is not realistic. It is dangerous fraud. And we need to move aggressively in global negotiations to reach out to those other countries around the world that recognize that until the very last nuclear weapon has been disarmed and disabled and removed, this world is not truly secure. The security threats lie more in what we share in common, in eliminating conflicts, in building world peace, and the first step is to ensure that we no longer face the threat of nuclear war. That's a challenge to all the other leaders. Let's discuss this. Let's find solutions. And with that, I'll open the floor to any questions from the media. Please, everybody here who might want to ask a question, this is just for the media, and then we'll mix and mingle and talk a bit before I jump back on board the train. So any questions from our friends in the press?